John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Everybody.
Right. Nice to see you.
Stand and read the word of the Lord. John chapter number 3, verse number 3. So Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4 said, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and, everybody say and.
And,
that is a conjunction. Brings two different things together. So being born of the water and being born of the Spirit are two separate experiences. Amen. Bind together, that are connected together. Amen. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, notice it says Spirit, capital S. Referring to the Spirit of Almighty God.
Amen.
That which is born of Almighty God is Spirit. That which is born of Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not. Don't be surprised. Don't stand in shock. Don't stand in awe. That I said unto you, ye must. Jesus, remember who's speaking here. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's worship the Lord one more time. Amen. As we prepare our hearts once again to receive the word of the Lord. Dear Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord. I thank you right now in advance for your word. I pray, Lord, for the ears of the hearer, God, that they would be open, that their hearts would be open and receptive to your word. May you give us understanding this day, God. Let your Spirit continue to move in this house. One more time, we give you glory and honor in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand before you're seated, and amen. Tell them how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord.
Let me see you, bro. Good to see you, brother.
Always.
Glad to see you.
Praise God. You can be seated. The wonderful name of Jesus. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time this morning. I will say this, oftentimes it may feel from time to time that when the preacher gets to preaching that we'll use this terminology, and I think all of us have probably used it at one time or another, and that is I felt like he was preaching at me. You know, you ever felt that way before? Man.
Brother Darren, don't get so eager about raising your hand.
Man, he was the first one to stand up and just about came out of his seat. Man, there's sometimes, let me just say this, that there's sometimes we feel like the preacher is preaching at us. Amen. But I believe that the enemy wants us to believe that.
Yeah.
But let's just change one word. Let's change that one word that is at and change it to the word for. Now that changes the whole dynamic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man, the preacher is preaching for me. Amen. Why? Because I'm not against you. I'm for you.
Amen.
Jesus is not against you. He is for you. And he'll tell us some things that will help us, that will build us, that will make us become who we need to be. And this is a fine example of that. Here is a man by the name of Nicodemus. If you don't know, let me just go quickly and talk to you about this man. He was a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was a very devout, religious man. But he realized that there was something different about Jesus. But something so different, something so dynamically different than anybody else or any other teaching or anything that he had ever heard before. Amen. And we really have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've said it before, and I will say it again, and I plan on saying it till the day that I die. I hate religion. I want to drive that so hard and so deep into our minds. I hate religion. And I can say that strong, because I believe that I can prove through the scripture that the Lord even hated religion.
Right.
Because religion has never saved anybody.
Right.
And then religion has never saved anybody. But the plan of Almighty God from the beginning was to have a personal relationship with his creation. And I believe that that's what he desires to do again here today. Amen. And continues to do in every one of our lives. Now nobody gets it when they first get married can say, wow, oh man, I've been married 45 years. You can't say that, can you? No, because it's a process and your relationship grows. Nobody can say that all of a sudden they're born and then, man, I'm having my 15th birthday. I'm ready to drive. And they're only two. No, it's a process, right? Well, same with living for God. It is all a process that we are going through. And that is called a relationship. So here is a man that was a very religious man. He knew the Bible, if you will. He knew the scrolls. He had studied. He had been taught by the best of the best. But there was something different about Jesus. There was something different about this one called Jesus. So he came with a hood in the middle of the night. If I can say it this way, with us, he had his hoodie on and he even had his glasses on, even though it was midnight. Why? Because he didn't want any surveillance cameras picking him up while he was walking down the street to where Jesus was at. He didn't want nobody to know who he was. His head down, avoiding all the surveillance cameras. He went, there wasn't no surveillance cameras. So he's there and he's walking through and he's trying to get to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus by night and he begins to talk to Jesus. What do I need to do? Talk to me. The things that you're teaching are so far beyond my understanding. I don't understand it. I've read the Old Testament backwards and forwards. I know what the scripture says here and there, but I don't quite understand what you're talking about. And so Jesus just cut through the chase. He cut through all the red tape. He didn't start from the beginning. He didn't go through a long, drawn-out process. He just got right down to the nitty-gritty. And I love how Jesus did that. He said, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I believe that every single person in this house today, the reason why you are here is because you want to go to heaven.
Amen.
Is that why you're here today?
Yes.
You want to be saved, does it?
Oh, come on. I thought there'd be more hands and more.
That's why I'm here today. I'm here today because I want to be saved. I want to know him. I want a better relationship with him. And so Jesus mentions two things here, that you must be born again of water and spirit. I only want to emphasize this morning on the spirit. That's where we're going to go. The spirit that he's talking about is the Holy Ghost, in which they received later on in the book of Acts, of which we'll go in just a minute. Amen. What does it take to be saved? Jesus said that you must be born again of water and spirit. You must receive the Spirit. You must be baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what is the Holy Ghost? And what does it take for me to receive it? Many times people will say, and I've had them up, well, what do I got to do to get that? I got this deal down, and I know what I got to do to get baptized. I got to get in the water, or I got to go down to the river. Amen. I've got to get baptized. I understand what I have to do there. But sometimes this being born again of the Spirit can be elusive if we don't understand it. Like the man Nicodemus. So is there anything wrong with not understanding? No, there's nothing wrong with not understanding. It's just the fact that Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. And what are we going to do here today for somebody here today that may not know how to receive the Holy Ghost? I'm going to give you three basic ingredients. Three basic ingredients. Man, wouldn't you ladies like to bake a cake like that? Three ingredients. Have the most, the greatest dessert known to man with three ingredients. Some of y'all are thinking, well, I got one that's pretty good with three ingredients. You understand what I'm saying. Yeah. You can't make something phenomenal, really, without some more ingredients a lot of times, right? But I'm going to give you three basic ingredients that I believe, through the Scripture, is all you need to receive or to be born or to be filled. Those three words are synonymous in the Scripture, and they're given to us in all ways, okay? Received and filled and baptized, okay? The three ingredients are, we're going to talk about each of them in particular. Number one is obedience. Now, I just lost 50% of you. Because all of a sudden, you go,
tell me what to do. Huh? That's our nature, isn't it? Our nature. Our nature sometimes can be so naughty. Don't touch that. Don't do that.
Watch.
Huh? Because it's in our nature, it's in our carnal nature to go against the grain. Amen. But one of the most important ingredients today is obedience. And let me show you that through the word of the Lord. We must be obedient to God's word. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 5, there's a plethora, a multitude, many, many, many other settings of Scripture, so just allow me the latitude to just tag in with a few. Will you do that with me today? If we go to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So in other words, we have two different and distinct experiences. Baptism with water, and then they use the same exact terminology, is baptized. Amen. With the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And the word baptism in the Greek and the Hebrew means, or it comes from the root word baptizo, which means to completely submerge. Amen. And you got to submerge, or you got to bury a dead man, right?
Right.
And part of baptism is dying out to the old man. It's a representation. It's a type and a shadow to die out to this old carnal man. Well, we don't bury anything by just sprinkling a little bit of dust on him, do we?
Right.
No, we bury him all the way.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you don't, guess what happens? They stink.
Yeah, they stink.
Yeah, they get the stinking, don't they? If you don't bury something, it gets the stinking. It'll start rotting.
Right.
I don't mean to disgust anybody, but somehow a rat got into my shop. And it died in there somewhere, and I can't find it. Guess what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I open the door of the shop, it's like, oh, this is horrible. I can't wait until it's done. I don't know where it's at. It's in there somewhere. You say, well, you got too much junk. You're probably right, but that's not the point. The point was there's a dead rat in my house. And you got to bury it in order to get it from stinking, right?
Right.
And so we get buried. So baptizo, I got to get back on track. So baptizo means to completely submerge. And so when we're baptized with the Holy Ghost, guess what? He don't give us just a little bit of it. He wants to give us up. All of it, the Holy Ghost, and then the scripture talks about Holy Ghost and fire, or it uses the other term, power. That word power means dynamite. This Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that you are born again into is powerful. It is dynamite. It is complete. It'll change your life. When we look at the setting of Scripture, we got Acts chapter 1, verse number 5. He said, baptize unto water, or into with water. And then he said, baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So just the next chapter, Acts chapter 2, and verse number 4, said, and they were all. Everybody say all. They were commanded to go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father, of the Spirit. And so they went into this upper room, of which I had the privilege of this last January to go and be in that area. I don't know if it was exactly the room or not or whatever, but they say it is, and that was good enough for me. It may not be the exact room, but whatever. You understand what I'm saying? It was still exciting to be there and know that I am in the city of Jerusalem. I am inside those city walls, that I do know it was somewhere there that the Holy Ghost was poured out. I was there in this setting of Scripture in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, where the Scripture said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just a select few. It wasn't just the disciples. It wasn't just the mother of Jesus. It wasn't just a few people. Every single person that was in the upper room were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Scripture said, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. Notice again there, S there is Spirit. It's not little s, so it's not human spirit. It is the Spirit of God. It is God Almighty Spirit, as the mighty Spirit of God gave them the utterance. In other words, you and I cannot learn how to speak in other tongues. You and I cannot do this on our own. It must be of God's Almighty Spirit. Right? Then if you skip down verse 37. Amen. So they talked about the main baptism of the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then we see it happen to 120. If we go a little bit further, Peter begins to preach to some people that day that were making fun, and to some other people that were inquiring. You're always going to have mockers. You're always going to have naysayers. But don't worry about the naysayers. Don't worry about the mockers. Don't worry about them. If you're hungry, that's the second ingredient. Amen. If you're hungry, God will fill you. I said, God will fill you. Well, there were some hungry people that day, and they said, tell us about this Jesus. Talk to us. And Peter began to preach to them. He said, this one that you crucified, that you hung on the cross, he is your Savior. He is the one that came to take away the sins of the world. And he preaches right down the line. All of a sudden, there were so many down in the crowd that day as he stood up in the window of that upper room and began to preach to them. They began to say in verse number 37, this is what they said. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What that means is they had conviction. Conviction came to them. They said, oh no, what have we done? Here was the very man that came to save us. We killed him. What do we do? What do I do? And our sin is what has separated us from God and from having this close relationship with Him. And so they say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, many brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do about our predicament? We're in trouble. Amen. Anybody ever been in trouble and asked somebody else for help?
Yeah.
Man, there have been plenty of times. Whether it's a flat tire, I've been stuck in the mud. There's no way to get out. I got stuck before. I couldn't get myself. I needed some help. What do I do? I'm in a situation that I can't get out of. And so, what do the apostles do? Right now, they begin to preach to them. They said, then Peter said unto them, here's the formula, repent. The first thing that you need to do is repent of your sins. You know that you've done wrong. Now, repent. Ask God for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Now, what you need to ask God for forgiveness is going to be different than what I need to ask God for forgiveness. So this is what makes it personal. You need to talk to God like He is somebody standing right next to you. Be real with Him. Talk to Him openly. God, forgive me. I'm so sorry for the way I've been acting. I haven't been treating my wife right. I have treated my children horribly. God, I've been cheating on my time card at my job. And I've been going out at break time and smoking some marijuana and getting high on the job. And even God, you know, I've been going out to my vehicle during lunchtime, and I've been doing this, and I've been looking at whatever it is.
Right.
No matter what it is. It don't matter what it is. Maybe it's just some thoughts that you have in your mind that you're struggling with. Oh, maybe it's somebody you can't forgive. Maybe it's somebody you're struggling with and you're holding a grudge and you wish God would kill them. Well, guess what? God don't want to kill them. God wants to save them.
Right.
He wants to save them just like He wants to save you.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I understand there's some situations that are very hard to comprehend, but God said He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does that mean, Pastor, that the man that raped me, God surely can't forgive him? He needs to be saved just like anybody else. But he's got to repent of his sins too. Just like the woman at the well that had five husbands, and the one she was with wasn't her husband. She wasn't even married to him, but was having a sexual relationship. And he said, she said, and she said, yeah, you got me right. You said it just like it was. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. No, I think I got two stories mixed up. I did. I got two stories mixed up. Woman caught the very act of adultery. There we go. So many stories went through my head. Yeah. That's right. It was all those religious people.
Yeah. Right.
That's a big time. Yeah, the preacher and all the deacons and the elders were over there peeking in the window while this woman was caught in.
Right.
Yeah. What? Are you serious? Hey, there's something messed up with that idea. Because the Bible said that they brought this woman and they threw her down at the feet of Jesus and they said she was caught in the very act of adultery. And the first thing I want to say is, how do you know? Where were you? How do you know this? And so that's where I get the idea that they must have been, they had something set up. And so Jesus, and so there, the book of Moses says to kill her and to stone her to death. What sayest thou, huh? Yeah, smarty pants. Now what you gonna do? He said, oh, that's easy. He that is without sin among you cast the first stone.
Right, amen.
And he began to stoop in the ground and write something of which we don't know. But if you'll allow me to use my imagination, I think he wrote their name down. John. And a sin right beside it.
Is there any Peters here?
Peter. No Peters here. I don't want to get nobody in trouble. And a lion. And Jose. Jose, cheating. Can you imagine? We don't know that for sure. But it says that he began to write in the ground, and they all begin to leave from the eldest to the youngest. They all had rocks in their hands.
Right? Come on.
Yeah. All had a rock in their hand. Come here, Jamie, help me. Come on. I want you to pick that one.
Get ready to throw that one. They're sinners. They're ready to die.
You're not going to do that?
Why not?
You don't know? Because you're embarrassed. You don't want to help them.
They were ready to throw those rocks. And each of the eldest to the youngest, they began to drop the rock and go. So when John got his sin written by his name, and when Sally got... When Sally got her name written back there, and everybody started, all those names started getting written, and all the sins started getting planted out, they all started dropping their rocks, and she had her head down in shame. I believe that she was crying, and she was weeping, and she didn't know what in the world she was going to do. She was just waiting for that first rock to smack her upside the head, and then all of a sudden, he says to her, "Where are thine accusers?" And she goes, said, "Neither do I condemn thee," but he didn't stop there. He said, "Go and sin no more." I'm going to tell you that that is the power of repentance right there,
right.
And the power of forgiveness.
Yes.
Well, hallelujah, that he can say, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. I'm forgiving you, but turn around and don't ever go back to that bed of adultery anymore."
Right.
Wow, what a powerful message of God's mercy. So, that repentance. Let's get back to the message since I took a rabbit trail. We'll get back to the message, and he says, repent. And so all of them are thinking of all the different things that they need to repent. God, forgive me here. God, help me there. Oh, God, please forgive me for this. And most of all, God, I'm sorry that I didn't even recognize who you were. And here you were before me. You were before my face. I was even one in the crowd that was crying, "Crucify him, crucify him. Put him on the cross." I got caught up in the moment. I got under the influence of peer pressure. But now comes a different thing. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall. Everybody say shall.
Yeah.
And ye shall. He gave them two ingredients right there. Repentance and being baptized in Jesus' name. And the third was that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell some of you here today, you may have repented and you've been baptized in his name. Guess what? You shall receive the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. It's a promise. It is a promise unto you. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. Amen. Because God's word said so. Amen. Verse 39 said, for the promise is unto you. There again, he's telling us it's a promise. What kind of God would he be if he breaks his promise? Now, some people go, well, I don't know if I can just... No, I think you need to get a little bit of holy boldness and say, Lord, I've repented of my sins. I'm doing everything that you have asked me to do thus far. I've been baptized in your name, but I haven't received your spirit. Now, I want it.
That's right.
You said it's mine.
Yes.
Get some boldness, God. I want to be filled with your power, with your glory, with your presence. You said this gift is mine. And I shouldn't have to fight for a gift.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Kasum, it was his birthday yesterday. Whose birthday was it yesterday or today? Somebody today? No, you're tomorrow. Are you tomorrow? No, you were Friday. Okay. There's like four or five of them that are June's birthday. So my birthday's coming up. Oh, I'm excited. But I remember being a kid. Anybody remember being a kid and having a birthday?
Yeah.
And you invited everybody, and you start seeing the cars pull up, and you start going, oh man, they're all here. And then when you really get excited,
one brings up. You see that box. And what I started liking when I got older is I liked the cards.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I like cards. Because I know what's usually in a card. See, they don't know what to buy me in a box anymore. So now they give me a card. And usually, yeah, money, honey. There's money in that card.
And so I learned later on that, man, nobody gives them anything. They just get in a card.
No, I like cards better. But when you're a kid, you're like, oh man, I wanted this Lego set, and I wanted this, and I wanted that, and all your friends are coming, and they're bringing you this box and that box, and you don't know what they're going to bring you, and you're getting all excited with all this anticipation and expectation, and they're like, please, 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 can I have my gift, please, and they look at you, no, no, I bought you this gift, but I'm just wondering if I want to keep it for myself. Huh? No. That's not like that. They brought it for you, and they're happy to give it to you. How much more? Come on, somebody. How much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you a gift? He said, oh, man, I'm excited about giving you a gift. Yes, it is called the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he's excited. Oh, I could portray somehow how God feels. He's like, Jesus. I feel it right now that I believe that God is even looking in this house. And come he's on. Going, hey, I got a gift for you. I got a gift for you. Yeah. And I can't wait. Matter of fact, he's probably saying, would you just get out of the way, preacher? And let them get the Holy Ghost. Let them receive what I got for them. Not yet. I gotta hurry. That was my cue. She jumped up there. I told her. The promise is unto you, to your children, and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Hey, somebody, you've got to save yourself. It's not figure out your own religion. It's you've got to be actively in participation with your soul being saved. And that's what you're doing today. That's why you're here today. Because I'm actively here participating in my salvation. That's what we're here doing today. And verse 41, this is powerful. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can I preach just a little bit longer? I believe that it is safe to say that 3,000 obeyed Peter's command to repent and to be baptized. And I believe also that they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we go a little bit further in the scripture, we go to about six chapters more to Acts chapter 8. We come to verse number 5. And it said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, just like Peter did a few chapters before. And the people with one accord gave heed. They listened. They listened to what the preacher was saying concerning the kingdom of heaven. And they saw what he was doing. They saw what was going on. Amen. Verse number 12. And then they were baptized. After they heard him preach, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women. Verse 13, Simon himself believed also. Simon was a sorcerer. Simon was a witch. And he believed. And he said, you know what? I see what's going on. And I want this thing. He recognized the power that was in the Holy Ghost. And he knew what power was because he was a sorcerer. He was a witch.
Right.
So he understood the spiritual aspects of things. And so here he is. He is baptized also. And he says to them, verse number 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. He said, man, y'all are ready to get the Holy Ghost right now. He said, you've repented, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're ready to get it right now. Hallelujah. I wish somebody helped me preach now. Amen. Verse 15 said, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. 16 said, for as yet he was fallen on none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. How many do you think would have received the Holy Ghost if they didn't obey?
None.
None.
They had to act. And that's what we all do in so many aspects of life. And so why is it any different when we see the Word of God that Jesus said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit? That should not be a hard thing for us to do. Yet sometimes we lack the understanding. And that's why I'm preaching this today. You can and will receive the Holy Ghost if you obey.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Let me quickly go there. Right before this, Peter was preaching about Jesus. And verse 44 said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Hey, you just got to hear the word and let it get into your heart. Let it spark some faith inside of you and realize, hey, this gift is for me. Oh, hallelujah. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came to Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? And that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. There were some in the crowd that day that hadn't been baptized yet, but received the Holy Ghost. And he said, hey, what you waiting for? Let's get busy and get baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so he's inviting them, hey, you got born again of the Spirit, but let's get born again of the water, because we got to complete this wonderful salvation package. Amen. Verse 48 said, he commanded them, notice the word that they used, commanded them, to be baptized in the name of the Lord. There was a commandment. And what did they do? We find out that they obeyed that. I can take to you several places that they obeyed. I'm telling you this morning that the Holy Ghost is for you.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost is for you today. As a matter of fact, I have plenty of scripture and I won't go into it, but at the same time, let me just tell you today that many times throughout the scripture that as they were preaching that the Holy Ghost would fall on them. So that means that right this very moment, if you opened up your mouth, lifted up your hands, and begin to magnify God and say, I want that Spirit, I want that gift, I want that gift, I want that gift, God, fill me with your glory. God can do it right to this moment. Three terms, again, that were used in receiving was received and filled and baptized. You may hear the preacher say, it's time to receive the Holy Ghost. Just lift up your hands. Guess what? Just lift up your hands. How many times? There's been some of you that probably can even attest to this. I've said, lift up your voice. And you did. I'll tell you, there's so many times that it's some of the simplest things. Oftentimes, I'm gonna help you here. I'm going to help you here. There's two more things that I'm going to get to real fast. They're just really fast to tag in with. But when you're praying for the Holy Ghost, the Bible said with stammering lips, you start feeling your lips quivering and your jaw quivering. And you feel like you're just about to lose control. That's the Holy Ghost trying to come in. That's the Holy Ghost trying to fill you. Because you've got to lose control of yourself and let Him come in and fill you. And the thing of it is, there's a lot of scripture to go on to, that the tongue is the most unruly member of our body. Would anybody agree with that? Just straight up. Huh? Man, I can control my hands. I can turn my head. I can stop going this way or that way. that there's a lot of things I can control, but sometimes that little piece standing inside of my head, man, is it hard to control. I've said things that I didn't want to say. I've regretted them. Anybody ever been there before where you said something and the second it went out of your mouth, you're like,
bring it back.
Am I the only one who's done that before? Man, I've tried so hard. Give me that back.
I didn't mean to say that.
Right. I've had my kids say that too. I didn't mean to say that. Too late. You said it.
Yes, sir.
The thing of that matter is you said it because it was in your brain.
Yes.
Well, that little tongue, the Bible says, the most unruly member of our body. And God chose that. God chose the most unruly member of our body to be the last thing to submit to Him as He comes in and fills us with His Spirit. And it's a sign throughout the Scripture that the Holy Ghost has been poured out in your life. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I've said it before. Some people go,
tears flowing down their face, and you're like this. You cry, and then you're feeling God. And they'll say, that's God touching you. Don't fight Him.
There's some simple things that somebody may whisper in your ear. Just lift up your hands. But I'm not that type of person. I understand that there's a lot of us that aren't that type of person unless we go to a football game.
And they're like, yeah! You come to church, everybody.
That's the truth. Amen.
Oh yeah, scream and holler on the volleyball court, on the baseball field, all over the place, acting like a fool.
Come to church.
Come on now.
You lose control over a pigskin getting thrown back and forth on the grass. You lose control over somebody shooting that three-pointer and it just boom, perfect. Winning score, 2 seconds left, everything's over. Scream, holler, rant, rave. But then the preacher says,
go ahead, just lift up your voice.
Really?
The greatest gift? The greatest gift known to man, that God is saying, here, I got some power for you. Do you realize that the power of the Holy Ghost, some of us are struggling in our walk with God? And let me tell you, the reason why we struggle is because the power of the Holy Ghost isn't as evident. That is it.
Because it's something you got to build. You got to work more and more.
You can get full. What is it? Filled with the Holy Ghost? Completely submerged? Oh, you can get a touch of Jesus. But oh, I think there's somebody here even this morning that wants to get full. I think there's some people here this morning that want to get full of the Holy Ghost. Oh. I know that there's sometimes... Hear me. I'm talking about that first step of obedience. It's so vitally important. Open up your mouth. I've told some people, I said, I know you want to scream. Just go ahead and scream. Man, they do. And sometimes right about that second, man, God fills them with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Bam!
Yes, sir. You know why? Because of obedience.
Yes, sir.
But that doesn't make sense. Because, well, sometimes it doesn't. It didn't make a whole lot of sense when God told Moses, stretch out your rod over the ocean.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Stick? You sure? What? This over the what? Then, hey God, can we talk about this for a second? Can you imagine if Moses did that? Hey God, are you sure you're not out of your mind? You see Pharaoh and all of his army back there? They're coming. They're gonna kill us in just moments. And you want me to take my stick and put it out over the ocean?
Right, come on.
Can you imagine? No, he didn't say anything like that. He just said,
"Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord."
What happened? Yes. He just was obedient. What about? What about Jericho? What about Joshua? What about those spies that told the harlot Rahab, when we come back and we take the city, just put a string?
Right.
And he said, matter of fact, put a scarlet thread out your window and all of your house will be saved. Just do it. And when they came and the walls fell flat, the only house remaining was her house, because it had a scarlet thread hanging out the window. Scarlet thread? Why a scarlet thread? Why can't I use blue? Why can't I use green? What? What's the matter? What's the matter? Why not just be obedient? Why not just do it the way God said do it? What's the problem? He said, be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Why not just, let's get in the water. It's time to be baptized. Why don't we just go ahead and let God fill us? Let me tell you something. Sometimes when we raise up our hands, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture this. And I want God to fill me. But man, when I get desperate, I reach up both of my hands.
They're about like this. Now, what does that look like to you?
Huh? A funnel.
Right.
Come on, Lord. Fill me up.
Right.
I don't want nothing splashing over. I want to get everything you've got for me. Oh, somebody help me right now.
Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I've been discretized in my life, but God, I'm gonna have you, and I'm gonna have you now. I gotta have a touch of your spirit. I want you to fill me up.
Yes.
Yes. The second thing is real quick, and you say, well, this is going to be forever if that was the first one. No. Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus preaching on the mount. One of the very first things he said, blessed are they that do hunger. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The second thing is, after obedience, I'm asking you, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Some of you, you've been baptized in Jesus' name because there was a hunger deep down in your gut for a change, for something real. And now I'm giving you that second ingredient to be born of the Spirit, that hunger that has been burning inside of your gut, that thirsting that is inside of your soul. God, I've got to have more. I want that Spirit. I've done it. I've repented. I've been baptized in your name. Notice what Jesus said there in 5:6. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise for you, brother. That's a promise for you, sister. That is a promise for you. Are you hungry? Have you been obedient? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? You shall be filled. You shall. I'm giving you some rock solid word that Jesus Christ himself spoke. Amen. That you can have assurance that God is not a man that he can lie. But every promise is true. And it is for you today. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Come on. I'm trying to get to inside of you right now. Is there a hunger inside of you for Jesus today to come and fill you? The fourth thing is Hebrews 11 and 6 and Hebrews 11 and 1. Actually, I'll go there first. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we skip down to verse number 6, it said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently Seek him. I'm telling you today, the third easy ingredient. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody help me pray. I'm telling you right now, if you'll be obedient, if there's hunger in your life right now, and there's faith building in your heart, he said, I'm a rewarder, I'm a rewarder, I'm going to give it to you. It's all yours right now in Jesus' name. Just open up your mouth. Just open up your mouth right now. I'm done. I'm done preaching. But God wants to pour out his spirit on some of you right now. Would you step out of your aisle? Would you make your way out of your chair? Out of your seat? Come down to the front. I'm talking three ingredients. Obedience, hunger, and faith. God, I've got the hunger. I know that you can do it. Will you obey God? Step out of that pew. You want the Holy Ghost? Make your way down to the front of this auditorium. Lift up your hands. Come on, church. Somebody help me pray right now. I'm going to tell you that the reason why there was 3,000 on that day that got a hold of God was because of the 120 that were filled already. Amen. Is there anybody in this house that is already filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm going to tell you, if you are already filled with the Spirit of God, it's time to rise to the occasion and pray for somebody else to receive the greatest gift. It's time right now to be born of the Spirit. It's time right now to be born of the Spirit. Lift up your voice. Come on, brother, lift up your voice. As you've got your arms stretched towards heaven, oh, remember, God, I want all of it. Come on, I want all of it. Come on, sister, reach your hands up towards heaven. Hold up your hand. If you've repented of your sins, if you've been baptized in his name, the Holy Ghost is for you today. Come on, somebody help me pray. Help us pray. Help us pray. Help us pray. It was because of the 120. It was because of the 120. It was because of the 120. They had only got the Holy Ghost. That 3,000 got it. Come on, it's for you. It's for your brother. It's for your sister. It's for your husband. It's for your wife. Oh, yes, it's for your children. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice. Woo! In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. Come on, let's let the Holy Ghost. Let's let the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Oh, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Be ye filled. Be ye filled. Be ye filled. Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it. You don't have to be in control. You don't have to be in control. Let Jesus be in control right now. Come on, it's for you, brother. It's for you, sister. It's for you today. In Jesus' name, fill us with your glory. Fill us with the power. Fill us with the Holy Ghost today. He is faithful. He is faithful.